face value. I've been to seminary, and I just want us to go back to the fact that the simplicity of the gospel is so powerful, and we can miss it if we are not careful. Can you say amen? I don't want man's opinion. I want the word of the living God. I'm tired of man's philosophy, ideologies. I'm ready for God's eternal words. Let us read it together today as you're standing. Psalms 105, verses 1 through 5, simply says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name." That's our focus today. Call upon his name. "Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him." Sing psalms unto him. "Talk you of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore." Verse 5 says, "Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Another setting companion text is Psalms 50:15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite texts, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you know not." We've given thanks to the Lord, so let's do it one more time. Say, "Thanks unto the Lord." Now let's do the second phase of this scripture, verse 1. Let's call on his name. We say, "We call on the name of the Lord." And now we're going to make known his deeds. We're going to testify of what he has done. Say, "We're testifying of what he has done." Before you're seated, turn around, tell somebody you love them, and don't lie. You're in the house of the Lord. I'm thrilled today to have in attendance with us our two daughters and our son-in-law, Catherine and Jared Stover, and then Christina Weeks. If we look a little green around the gills today, forgive us. We had a wedding last night of our third grandson, and I've gotten to marry all three of those grandsons, have Christina's boys. And it was an open format out here at Poetry and Under the Breeze, and so sinuses and kicked in today and all of that mess. And so if we look a little green around the gills, just pray for us. We got to bed about midnight, and we're praying for that young couple. They'll go on as they are to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. A very familiar passage of Scripture to us is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want us to focus in on the fact that that scripture says that God is a giver. Today, God wants to give. And at the end of this service this morning, as we conclude, I'm asking you ahead of time if you'd prepare yourself to join me in just for a moment or two to stand together as a congregation in the front of this altar area here. And we're going to call together for each need today on the name of the Lord. So you're prepared for that. And if you can, I understand some it may be difficult. If so, find a seat on the front row. But we want to join together and pray, because in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says when the church prayed, the place was shaken. I'm ready for the church to have its power being remanifest, not for us, but for his glory. Can you say amen? God is a giver. Notice that God gave to the world. He gave his Son, his love, his plan of salvation, a hope. Remember, Satan was under the domination, was having domination over this world, and yet God so loved it that he sent his only begotten Son. He gave to the world, but he not only gave to the world, he gave to Israel. For in the wilderness, he gave them megatons of manna every day. Quail, 3 foot wide, surrounded the camp, and it came on the eastern wind that God blew. The bitter waters of Meribah were sweetened. You see, God's a giver. The rock at Horeb, it watered and slaked the thirst of the animals and the people. And by day he was a cloud, shielding them as an air conditioning. By night, a heat lamp. He gave Israel light that they could see one another. Did not have to have flashlights, did not have to have natural lights, but they had the light of the counsel of God, because God's a giver. He allowed them to cross the Jordan River on dry ground. He conquered nations for the tribes of Israel. You see, God gave them leadership, and God gave and gave and gave. And folks, he hasn't turned off the spigot. He's still in the process and waiting to give liberally unto all of those who will call upon his name, will believe in their heart, and will trust him. You see, they crossed the Jordan River, but not only that, he opened up the Red Sea. For God so loved the world. He loved the world. He loved the children of Israel in the wilderness. And folks, he loves the church, because he gave to the church all these marvelous gifts. Can you say amen? But he also gave to his biblical characters. To Adam, he gave a garden. To Abraham, a covenant. To Isaac, a ram. To Jacob, a ladder. To Noah, a rainbow. To Joseph, a coat. To Moses, a staff. To Elijah, a raven. To Elisha, a mantle. To Daniel, a dream. To Gideon, a fleece of wool. To John the Baptist, a leather girdle. To Zacchaeus, he gave a tree. Judas, a bag. Jeremiah, a rope. Hanukkah, he gave unto them forces of victory. Unto Ezekiel, he gave a covetous congregation. Caleb, a mountain. And notice, folks, David had a sling. Samson had a Nazarite vow. Solomon, a temple. Balaam, a donkey. Hannah, a son. Isaiah, a vision. Peter, a rooster. Paul, a basket. John, the revelator, the Isle of Patmos. Mary and Joseph, the Christ child. And to his son, he gave them the cross. And he gave to them not only a cross, but he gave to him the church. And you and I are the church of triumph today. Someone ought to shout praises to God. Excuse me, my Lutheran background is coming out. I want to give praises unto him. As we have read in the scripture, give thanks and praise unto the Lord. Can someone join me this morning in saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together. Let's exalt him with a praise out of our lips, out of our hands, and out of our minds this day. He gave to the church his son, his word, the promise of the coming, and the great commission. The rapture of the church is on the horizon, the hope of eternity, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our God is a giver. Folks, he not only gave this world his son, but he has given all things unto us. You're sitting there this morning and saying, well, preacher, what in the world has God given to me? Romans 12:5 says simply this, that God has given to every man the measure of faith. You have faith in that automobile that when you put the key in or you push the button, it's going to start. Folks, we have faith within each man's heart. And I'm here glad we can rise up and we can give our gifts back unto God. Pressed down, shaken together to overflowing. That it will reach out into the bosom of other men. And as men have given to us, it comes back. I'm here glad as we cast our bread upon the waters, they return. God is a giver this morning. And those who possess the living King, who have the blood flowing in their life, who have the moving of the Spirit, who have the passion of the living Christ, something will happen in their personal lives. They want to be reflectors of the grace of God. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. There's a passion within us today that we want to come and do as the Scripture says, give thanks unto the Lord, acknowledge his testimonies, and let there be a praise upon our lips. Someone praise him this morning. You're saved by grace. You're on your way to heaven. If you're saved, folks, your past is forgiven. Your present is secure. And your future is brilliant. Someone give him praise. There's more to life than just retirement. And retirement comes in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. Can you join me this morning and give him praise to him? Excuse me, Pastor may never have us back, but I got enough gas just to get back to McKinney. The Bible says, testify of his goodness to us. This is not about Wes Wirtz this morning, but I want to give some testimony to what God has done for me. He not only touched the children of Israel, not only touches the church, not only touches the world, His biblical characters, but He touches us collectively and immeasurably. We must count our many blessings and see what God has done. I was sitting in the orchestra section as we were at a great meeting at Oak Cliff Assembly of God Church several years ago. Great pastor there, Brother H.C. Noah. And as we were gathering up our instruments, leaving the musical pit, because at the end of the service, we were walking by the altar area. And the two gentlemen that were with me that day, one was named Gil Lindsay. His parents, Frida and Gordon Lindsay, started a ministry several years ago called Christ for the Nations. Dr. John Garlock was one of the professors there, and he was one of the three of us standing at that altar. And John turned to Gil and I, and he said simply this. He said, "Wes, we've been talking about the goodness of God. Let me share a story what happened to my parents, Benjamin and Ruth Garlock, some of the first missionaries that went out under the auspice of the Assemblies of God. They ended up in the Belgian Congo." Said those were the early days of the 1900s when Mom and Dad went. And he said, "I tagged along and I became a part of that." And he said, "One day the drums came down from the river above, the Congo River, and was asking for the missionary to come because there was a problem in the camp. The monsoon season, the rainy season was on, and John knew that rains would come, and Benjamin knew that the rain would come in the afternoon. And so he took his little dugout canoe that he had, and he found the largest rope he could find so he could secure it so that when he was coming back before dark, he'd have a way to cross that river again. He found that rope, paddled upstream, came to a little landing where there were two paths. One went into a tribe of cannibals. The other path went to where the drums were calling for assistance to the missionary. He made his way up in there and found that there's a person was laying on its deathbed. And all he could do, folks, didn't have the natural talent to do anything, but he knew how to call on the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. The blood never loses its power. Come on, folks. I'm here glad your salvation is secure as long as you are in Christ Jesus, the hope of victory. Can you say amen this morning? I'm feeling at home. I'm hearing a few amens around here. Thank you, Baptist folks, for shouting amen. He laid his hands on the sick person, and instantaneously God performed a miracle. The person was touched. Boy, I like that kind of church. I said, I like that kind of church. Not the performance of men, but the hand of God. Wave your hand if you like the hand of God. When that happened, more beds, problems were presented to the missionary, and the whole day was taken away. He told his wife, "I'll be back just before dark, at least by then, so I can cross the river." They brought person after person, and miracles happened. He looked at his watch. The sun was setting. He had a long ways to go back down the path to get to where the portage was of where he had left that boat tied to that tree. And when he looked at the hour, he knew that if he would slip through the cannibal tribe, the pathway was shorter. And he said, "Oh, Jesus, I'm going to take a risk. Journey, will you be there?" I'm here glad when you take a risk for Jesus, He shows up. Can you say amen? He ran down that path as fast as he could. The sun was setting. He was getting closer to the landing, and he sensed that somebody was following him. John said, "Dad just felt so strong about it that he started running a little bit quicker." And when he got to the landing place, to his chagrin, instead of seeing the dugout still there, he said there was nothing but a tethering of a rope. And he said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I need you." He had looked back on his running, and he could not see anybody, but he could see the tips of spears and the top of the shields that they were carrying. They were small people. You see, they had something in mind. They wanted to have him for dinner. But how many are glad when the enemy is after you? How many are glad you have a vanguard? I'm here glad you have a high priest. I'm here glad you have a king. I'm here glad you have an attorney general. I'm here glad you have a counselor, everlasting father, a prince of peace, a mighty God. Excuse me, folks, this morning, I'm not talking about Amway and stocks and bonds and mutual funds. I'm talking about him who is eternal, who sits at the circle of the earth and makes his enemies his footstool. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Excuse me, I feel something in this place. He is my God. John said, Dad just knelt there and started praying. He said, oh Lord, I need a miracle from you. I don't know how long it was that he prayed, John said, but all of a sudden when he came up out of that prayer time when he was praying but said God would do something, he reached up to grab a hold of the rope what he had just let loose in his earth before he started praying. And when he reached, he groped for it and there was no rope there and he was confused. Now there was a tree over here. And when he looked on this side, now the river was over here. And when he looked over there, he saw a tribe standing by a tethered rope. While he had called upon the name of the Lord had translated him. Folks, that's just one miracle that has happened. I want to testify of the goodness of God. God knows how to bring you across the river. God knows how to extend your finances. God knows about your health issues. He sees when the sparrow falls. They that call upon me, he said, I will show them great and mighty things they know not. There are things that Westworth doesn't know, but when I call upon him, he starts to reveal the power and the majesty of his great being. This new telescope they put out there now shows that, folks, there are galaxies beyond galaxies. There are black holes beyond black holes. Folks, he rules and reigns. I said he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This earth only knows a fallen angel, but we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things you know not. It's all right. Give him a clap offering. He's worthy of praise. I was set out to take some revival campaigns for 6 weeks up in the Mississippi Valley, up towards St. Louis. And as I was headed out with the motor home, I got on Interstate 40, just about where the convergence is, West Memphis. 55 ties into 40. And as I got to that place, there were hundreds of backed up 18-wheelers. They had construction going on, and I lost 2.5 hours just going about 7 miles, getting through all of that traffic. Well, my mother taught me some things to try to use your brain every once in a while. And when I finished those 6 weeks, pardon me, of meetings, I was coming back, getting ready to come back to Texas. I was anxious to see my family and my wife. I said, Lord, help me. I'm going to take a shortcut through Arkansas. Let me appraise you of this, folks. There are no shortcuts in those hills of Arkansas. I headed out, knew if I would go west, I could work my way south. And as I'm driving, sitting up in that motor home on that November morning, watching all the mallard ducks paddling their feet in all those ponds, I couldn't wait to get back home, embrace my family. I came to a little community called Earl, Arkansas. And on the north side of town, when I was coming in, I noticed there was an Assembly of God church. And I said, praise be unto God, there's an evangelical Pentecostal message being delivered in this community, because it wasn't locked up. You could tell it was still moving on. I turned to go out of town west on 64, and as I was heading out that way towards Parkin, I didn't get 3 miles out of town, and all of a sudden I blew the front tire out on the passenger side, pardon me, the driver's side. And just as I blew that tire out, I instantly lost control of the vehicle. But right there, immediately, was one of those little places that God puts there ahead of time that had one garbage pail, one barbecue pit, and one picnic table. I was just enough off of the road. I was so thankful. I've traveled for 25 years as an evangelist all over the country. I've blown several tires on the back. You can crawl in when you've got dualies on. But that front tire went down so fast, and I couldn't do anything. Didn't have a 12-and-a-half-ton jack to get it off that flat off the ground. I said, oh God, I hope you know where Earl, Arkansas is. How many are glad Jesus is better than GPS? He's better than Google. And you don't have to tweet him. I tried to raise somebody on the CB. This is years ago before we had cell phones like we do today. Nobody helped me. I got out a pen and wrote down the size of the tire. I could not get it up, so I started to walk back towards Earl, Arkansas. I looked this way and that way, and I could see 2 miles down the road. I didn't know what was ahead, but all I could see was telephone lines and telephone poles fading in the distance of that concrete path. I turned to walk back this way, and I said, Jesus, again, I need some help. Nobody was there, but I'm here glad you're never alone when you're with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen, church? I said, I'm here glad you're never alone. Can you say amen this morning? I'd walked about 100 feet, maybe 200 feet, and all of a sudden I heard noise behind me in the gravel as I was walking on the side of the road. I thought to myself, that's a vehicle. And as I turned around, out of nowhere came this pickup truck. Folks, it was an old pickup truck, had different color fenders on it. I just knew it had just been some farmer that was coming along the way, and it amazed me because I was aware of my surroundings, and I knew there was nobody there. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things you know not. When I turned around, there was a smiling face sitting behind the front seat in Oshkosh overalls, about 300 pounds, a big dude with a big smile on his face. He said, is that your motor home back there? I said, yes, sir. He said, looks like you need some help. I said, yes, I need some help. I'm near Earl, Arkansas. Are you available? I've had this little idiosyncrasy for years. Every time I go to a big box store or to Walmart, and I look on the parking lot at all those beautiful, shiny pickup trucks, there's just something inside of me that I've done for years. And that's simply this. I kind of glance over to see what's in the back on my way as I'm going in and out of the store. Beer cans. Baling wire. Old boots. Now, some of the guys that work daily, this is not a slam on them, but when you can clean it up, I learned a secret. How the house looks on the front yard oftentimes looks like that on the inside. So this is what I'd like to do. Lord, if they don't know Jesus, clean up their act. Let them be presented with Christ. So when that gentleman came by, he said, sir, get in. I walked around that pickup truck, and I was shocked and amazed. When I looked in that back old 50s pickup truck, there wasn't one beer can, not a jack, not cables. I want you to know, no fancy materials. It was clean as a whistle, and I looked at it, and I said, well, I can get in this truck. We got in it, and he said, let's go. And I said, let's go back to Earl. He said, no, let's go back to the motorhome. I said, it's no use. I don't have a jack. He said, sir, just be patient. He said, I'm here to help you. How many are glad God knows how to send help along the way? Call upon me, and I will show and tell you things that you know not. We walked over to the tire. He said, yes, you need a jack. I said, yes, let's go to the next town and see if we can find one. He said, go look on the back of the pickup truck. I looked on the back of that pickup truck, and before I did, I said, sir, there's nothing there. I just checked it out. It's super clean. He said, look again. I was belligerent almost. I didn't want to take that journey back a few feet, but when I walked back there, I was shocked what I saw in the back of that pickup truck. Folks, there was a cardboard box about this wide and about this tall and about 6 foot long, and it was turned upside down. All I saw was cardboard and all those copper staples that were sticking up. And when I flipped it over and took them out, there was a 12.5-ton jack that was there, brand new. God is better than UPS. I said, God's better than FedEx. I said, He knows how to send His angels right from the throne and to bring deliverance in our prison experiences. Someone praise Him in the house. When the doctor says there's no more medicine, when the attorney says there's no more law, when the banker says there's no more finance, I'm very glad our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the great physician. He has equity that's beyond all measure, and God can make a way when there is no way. Excuse me, folks, this morning, I'm talking about my Heavenly Father. I'm talking about my provider. I'm talking about my Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We jacked that thing up, went to park and bought a tire. I was kind of quiet. I didn't know what to ask. I said, Sir, how is it that you came by this way? He said, Because I was sent. I started asking, where are you sent from? But there's something inside just stopped me. And finally, in our conversation all the way back, I finally mustered up enough Christian faith, and I said, Sir, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, Yes, sir. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, Good. Now I felt like talking. I said, How long have you known Him? And when he said this, I had to shut my mouth. He said, Sir, I've known Him a long, long, long time. Come on, folks. How many are glad you've met the living Christ? And we're getting ready to go to a place where we're going to live forever. And forever, come on, praise Him in the house. Some of you are walking through a destiny of journeys today that you don't understand. I want you to open up your heart and trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We jacked it up. We put the tire on after we got that all set. I'm now getting ready to pop the hubcaps on and torque it down, and I tell him, he's standing behind me adjusting that jack, and as he's turning the knob to let it down so I can tighten up and torque up those last lug bolts, I step aside because I don't want to step on that when I get up. And I pop on that hubcap, and when I do, folks, I know that jack is right behind me because I just heard it pulled out by him. And when I turned around to make sure I didn't step on it, folks, there was no jack. When I looked around, there was no man. When I looked around, there was no truck. I said, God came to Earl, Arkansas. Some of you must say that was just a dream the preacher had. Folks, 1 month later on my bank account, I got on my credit card a billing for one tire that came from Parkin, Arkansas. My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask. He's going to transport the church over to the journey. Folks, they crossed over Jordan, thought that was phenomenal. But you and I are going to take a journey across all journeys. The curtain has been opened, and now we have access into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Excuse me, folks. I'm talking about my Heavenly Father, my big Abadab Father. I'm talking about Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If God be for us, who can be against us? Rise up in your spirit today and let the power and the anointing of God give you hope once again. He offers hope in this day when the world says no and the devil says I'm in charge. He is not sleeping and slumbering, but he's getting ready to reveal himself in the power and the majesty of his presence. Worship him with me, church, today. Call upon his name right now and ask him to minister life and healing to you. I headed to Kingsville, Texas. Have a revival campaign. And at First Assembly, across from the naval base, wonderful geodesic dome church. Ed Cannon was the pastor then. And on that Sunday morning while the worship team was leading, one of the elders of the church raised his hand and said, Pastor, you know my wife. I'm an elder here in the church. She's in the hospital. The cancer is so strong, and if God doesn't come through the situation, we don't know what's going to happen. He said, I wonder if we could pray right now. And folks, the praise team just stopped from doing what they were doing. And everybody in that church rose to their feet, 450 of them, and they started praying. When God's people begin to pray, hell has to give up its clutches. How many are glad under His feathers and under His wings He protects us? The service broke out. It's 11 o'clock and Ed looks at me, said, Wes, you were here last year. Just go ahead. I don't know how the service is going to go. You just take it. And when he did that, I took the microphone and said, folks, you've been praying for this lady and we know God's going to touch her. I just met some of you for the first time today, but my mother is in a hospital off of 635 up in North Dallas. She's been battling multiple myeloma cancer. She's been through two bone marrow transplants at $150,000 each. She's in a hospital called R.H. Dedman. I wonder why someone would name a hospital Dedman. It was a special oncology hospital at that time. Don't believe it's there now. And for 10 days, my mother was in a coma. I ran up there before I went to Corpus. I wanted to talk with Mom, but she was in this coma state, tubes everywhere. Got in with my sisters. We began to sing and read the Word of God, and she just laid there and absorbed it. That Sunday morning, back now, as I had asked God on the way down to Corpus, I said, Lord, I want to see my mother one more time and have one more personal confrontation and conversation with her. I said, Lord, would you grant that desire? That Sunday morning, as now I'm handed the microphone, and I said to that congregation, you're already on your feet and you're worshiping and praising God. Would you pray for a little Polish woman who was born overseas, put in hiding for a couple years because of the war situation? Would you touch her from this cancer that's arrested her body? And when I said that, that congregation went ballistic. I'm glad for people who trust in God and don't let Sunday morning stop them from having miracles. Come on, folks. We're not here to impress one another. We're here to have His impression etched upon our spirits and our lives. How many want to lift Him up? I said, how many love lifting up the name of Jesus? I heard a fanatic in the back of the church. Somebody said, filthy devil, get your stinking hands off of Erna Wirch. That's not very poetical in prayer. But Acts 4 says, when they prayed, the place was shaken. Some of you are wondering about your grandkids. Drugs. Crime. Depression, despondency, hopelessness. You and I, as His Christians today, don't have resignation in mind. We have redemption in mind because we serve a living God. Lift your hands and praise Him with me in this place right now. We left the service that Sunday morning at 1:30. They normally got out about 12. Got 2 minutes left. Who'll give me five more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. When I got back to the motorhome outside the church after we went to dinner with the pastor and his lovely lady, my little phone was flashing. That's flip phones in those days. It's my sister. She said, Wes, what were you doing at 11 o'clock this morning? You know, I've been staying with Mom 24 hours a day, best that I can. She said at 11 o'clock, Mom sat up in that bed, pulled the tubes out. She said, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. God grants the desires of His children. Stand to your feet with me, folks, this morning. And I don't want to beg you, but I just want you to come quickly, if you would, if you can. I understand some of it might be difficult. We got some chairs here on the front. You can sit on the altar. I just want us to come, and we're going to call upon the name of the Lord this day.